Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
Lions Daily on TalkSport 2.
Yes, Lions Daily on TalkSport 2. Evening, I'm Tim Cocker. How are you doing? Well, how am I doing? I'm like a kid before Christmas, to be honest, because it's four sleeps until the deciding third test on Saturday. And the build-up has gone up another notch today. We have the lineups for both the Lions and the Springboks, and we will get stuck into dissecting and debating the two teams throughout the next hour. But I can't do that alone. Well, actually, I probably could do that alone, but I wouldn't put you through that. So instead, we've tracked down a man who knows a thing or two about what it's like to be a part of a Lions series in South Africa, Peter de Villiers. He coached the Springboks to a series victory in 2009, and he'll join us very shortly. Finn Russell is today's player profile. Having a look at his origin story, which is perfect timing as well, because he's been named on the bench for Saturday. Could one of rugby's biggest mavericks have an influence on the weekend? And you know what? We'll be going right back to where it all started for Finn with his former coach, Bob Wiley. And finally, we'll hear from the Lions and the Springbok camps ahead of that third test this weekend. Do you know, weeks like this, it's what we live for as rugby fans, isn't it? A game this big, outside of a World Cup final, there is nothing bigger and there is nothing better. So the Lions, they've named their side for Saturday's third test, and there are some massive, huge... Give me another word, Alfie Reynolds.
Gargantuan.
There you go. It's massive. Any superlative you fancy, and the Lions 23, then let's get into this. So, there are changes in the front row, where Wyn Jones comes in at loosehead prop and Ken Owens comes in at hooker for Mako Vunipola and Luke Cowan-Dickie, who both drop to the bench. Tyg Furlong continues at tight head prop. No changes elsewhere in the pack, so it's Maro Itoje and Alan Wyn Jones in the second row, and a back row of Courtney Laws, Tom Curry and Jack Conan. Here's where it gets interesting. Ali Price and Connor Murray continue to do their musical chairs and they switch back again so that Ali Price is starting at nine. Dan Bigger continues at fly half. In the centre, as to be fair to him, Jamie Roberts called it on yesterday's Lions Daily, Bundi Aki comes into the side at 12. No one was really talking about that aside from, as I say, Jamie Roberts, so fair play. And Robbie Henshaw shifts out to 13 with Chris Harris dropping out of the 23 completely. And in the back three, we thought there might be changes. People thought there might be a couple of changes. I think a lot of people are surprised that Duane van der Merwe keeps his place. Anthony Watson and Stuart Hogg out of the 23. And in come two Welshmen, Josh Adams and Liam Williams. And the excitement does not stop with the bench either, because in addition to the names I've already mentioned, Adam Beard comes in and he will be on debut. Kyle Sinclair, his sighting for an alleged bite was not upheld, so he can stay on the bench. Sam Simmons and Finn Russell. Couple of exciting, explosive, electric players who, well, they could just be the sort of SOS call for Warren Gatland if they need something special to pull a rabbit out of a hat. So that means Owen Farrell, Taulupe Faletau, Tyg Byrne, Chris Harris, Anthony Watson and Stuart Hogg all out of the 23. Surprised, Alfie?
Oh, where do we start, Tim? We were expecting changes. I thought we'd see a number of changes, but it's a fair way away from what we predicted yesterday. I guess we got right the idea that the pack would largely stay the same. But as you mentioned, I would have expected Duane van der Merwe to drop out of that back three. He stays. Sam Simmons on the bench as well. I didn't necessarily see him being brought in for this final test match. I mean, what an opportunity for him. And Finn Russell as well on the bench. In fact, I think you could argue, Tim, that for me, it was almost the bench that was the most surprising part of the selection. I think Finn Russell hasn't played much. It's a big ask for him to come on in the closing stages if you're looking to win this deciding Lions test match. Same for someone like Sam Simmons, who hasn't played a huge amount at international level. I think it's a bold selection. It's a really, really interesting selection.
It is. And I think, broadly speaking, I'll say it's fairly pragmatic when you look at the selections in the 15. He's gone, the Bundiaki selection is the most eye-catching there, and that's quite a robust, solid type of player. But that, to sort of compensate that, he's got some X factor on his bench, some people with unusual and rare skill sets. And I think he might be anticipating, if he needs to get himself out of a hole, he's got something a little bit different that could maybe do it. But I'll tell you what, let's hear from Warren Gatland himself there and what he had to say about the reasons for making six changes.
We just felt that there were certain things from the weekend in terms of particularly the aerial battle, and, you know, we just got nothing out of that. So, you know, that was one of the areas. Disappointed with the last 20 minutes in terms of we've given away eight penalties in the last 20 minutes, and four of them we considered were pretty needless and ones that we shouldn't have given away. And not complaining about the result, in fairness to South Africa, they finished strongly. You know, it was a tight game. We were happy with the first half and where we were, and at 60 minutes on the clock, there's nothing in the game. So, yeah, we just felt Wyn Jones was very, very unlucky. He picked up that injury in the first test. He's back fit. And so it's that sort of combination with Wyn and Ken in the front row. And then, obviously, Ali's done pretty well in the first test, so we've swapped our nines around. And then with Bundy, Robbie, you know, they've got a pretty familiar combination. And that midfield's always been a bit of a discussion and a bit of a debate for us, and just looking at the physicality that Bundy brought and the A game and stuff. So, and that combination of them two working together, and then just giving the chance to move Robbie one out.
I think Warren Gatland's right that the midfield has caused the most selection between Lions fans when you just have chats in the pub or at the clubhouse. And clearly, in the selection meetings between all of the coaches, he's come down on the side of Bundiaki and Robbie Henshaw. It's pretty much the back line we saw in that opening Lions game at Murrayfield. And those two particularly went quite well then. And Alfie, I'm going to let you... I'm not going to steal that stat because you just gave that to me. That stat you just gave about Bundiaki, I loved it. Go on.
No, well, this is my role, though, Tim, as the producer. You're happy to steal it. But it was... I saw earlier on Twitter, there's so many good stats I've seen today, by the way. But I saw one which Matteo Reynal, who is the referee at the weekend, and Nick Berry, who is his assistant, both of them have sent Bundiaki off in an international match. So let's hope that's not a sign of things to come.
Well, if they're consistent with the refereeing from last weekend, there'll be no red cards for anything.
That's true. That's very, very true. By the way, Tim, have we mentioned yet Owen Farrell? I know you said that it dropped out, but...
Would have been his 100th test, this.
Is that right?
That's brutal.
That's another one that I am really surprised by. We were debating yesterday, and I think in the end, we both kind of agreed we'd bring him in at 12 and have him and Dan Bigger. He's dropped out entirely, which again, I just think... I thought he's done okay, maybe hasn't been at his best on the tour, but in terms of a big game, you know, in terms of that player who you just back to bring the right intensity and the right skill set and everything to a game of this magnitude, for him not to be in the 23, I'm amazed by that.
Yeah, I am. And it's absolutely savage at this level and at this stage. One of the men, though, I'm really pleased to see back, and he should shore things up in that front row, Wyn Jones. He has a massive task ahead of him, and he spoke to our reporter out in South Africa, Neil Manthorpe.
Well, let's get straight down to business then, because the Springbok set piece, the scrum in particular, misfired probably in the first test, but it looked back to its formidable best in the second.
Yeah, they were impressive the second half, especially, you know. And that's definitely something they're good at, and something they probably reverted back to as well, you know. They went back to their strengths and obviously showed in the result on the weekend.
Do you have a specific task at scrum time?
No, you know, a scrum is more than one person now. You know, it's the whole eight as you work together and stuff. You know, so no, it's definitely something we work on as you know, same as we work on every week. But no, it's definitely not down to one guy. It's all eight just buying in and going for it.
It's been quite niggly. That's to be expected. It only happens every 12 years. Has it been a bit spicier than you thought?
No, I think it's what you expect, especially playing South Africa. You know, I haven't played them a few times with Wales. You know what to expect, and you can't take a backward step, you know. And yeah, that's what the boys did on the weekend. If there is a bit of niggle, then you've got to stand up to it and sort it out.
It's one thing I love about rugby at this level. You hear these giant men talking about the most gladiatorial type of physical confrontation, and they just go, yeah, it's a good challenge. Yeah, we'll do it. Give it our best.
He seemed pretty relaxed there, didn't he?
He really did.
Wynne Jones, good to see him come back in. I'd forgotten, Tim, that he, of course, was named for the first test and then dropped out the day of, didn't he?
Correct.
Which I'd forgotten about. So a big challenge. I mean, we always say it, don't we, against South Africa, but that front row battle is absolutely massive.
Yeah, and both the first and second test have been won or lost, as games tend to be, by the who has physical dominance in the pack, both the breakdown, the scrum, the line out, and South Africa very much got the best. And I think Wynne Jones is a big boost for the Lions. So here's hoping. As for the Springboks, well, they have made a couple of changes, enforced changes due to injury. Faf de Klerk at scrum half and Peter Steph de Toy, two of their best players and two guys that they build their game plan around, both ruled out through injury. Big losses, but they bring in Lou Diaga, pretty handy second row, shifting Franco Mostert, who started at second row in the first two tests, to the flank in place of Peter Steph de Toy. And Kobus Reinach comes from outside the 23 in to start at scrum half. That means Dwayne Vermaelen, who was being talked about, he was back in the squad, he was training again, he will not start at number 8. Jasper Visa continues there. And the other really interesting headline from the Springbok squad, Mornay Steyn is on the bench and could make his first test appearance since 2016. And, well, we all remember Mornay Steyn's crucial involvement in the tests 12 years ago.
2009 second test, wasn't it? Ronan O'Gara gave away the penalty with the clock basically in the red, and Mornay Steyn, I think it was his debut. Or it was certainly, if not his debut, it was a relatively new Springbok at that time, kicked that 50-plus metre penalty to win the game. I mean, I'm still not really over it, Tim, to be honest. You were saying before the show, weren't you? It's almost set up for him.
Yeah, that would be like Hollywood movie type stuff. You can just, I think Razzie Erasmus has done that just to, to make me have painful flashbacks to 2009. We can talk about 2009, actually, next on the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2. With the famous grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18 plus, be drink aware. The crucial third test live on TalkSport this Saturday, build up from 4 p.m, kick off at 5. And yeah, next, we're going to be joined by the man who selected Mornay Steyn and the rest of the South Africans in 2009. The Springbok coach, the last time the Lions toured there, Peter de Villiers, next.
Said before he came on, imagine the roar when he comes on. We said, imagine the roar if he kicks the winning points.
53.7 metres. This for the series win. It's got the distance. Steyn! Mornay Steyn has won the game for South Africa. The Springboks snatch it by 2-0.
We were talking about that moment just a second ago on the Lions Daily. Mornay Steyn kicking the winning penalty in the second test in the 2009 series, the Lions in South Africa. The Lions fans will be hoping, well, me included, we don't feel heartbreak like that again. Springbok fans will be hoping for a repeat, and Mornay Steyn is on the bench this weekend. He couldn't do it again, could he? Delighted that the man who helped orchestrate that famous Springbok win, the former South Africa head coach Peter de Villiers, joins me now on Lions Daily. Hi, Peter.
Good day, Tim. Thank you so much for the opportunity to just be in your space. And I hope that we can add value to your program.
Oh, I've no doubt you will. I'm really, really fascinated to pick your brains. Firstly, on what you make of this series so far.
Yeah, it's a bit of a seesaw. From your side, I think you guys must be very disappointed that the Lions gave away all the odds were in their favour. They were actually on the front foot, and then they gave it away by playing something that I never saw before from any Lions team and from any team in the UK. I was very, very surprised. But as a South African, we are really happy that they went that route and we could come back and level the score, the series.
What route are you talking about specifically that you've never seen a Lions team play like? What do you mean exactly?
Well, they renowned as a direct team with ball in hand, creating space for their players out wide, because they do have world class players in the back line. But they were kicking all the ball away, and in the first half, they could sense that they are only getting 10% of all their kicks back. So just go play something that you really used to, and everybody understands, and then go break down the damn wall on the other side, you know. Mm. But by giving the ball away, you actually allowed us to be direct, to enter our physical a battle with the Lions. And although the Lions were on top in the contest in the first half, so much were the Springboks in the second half.
That is interesting. I want to take you back to 2009 as well, Peter. You guided the Springboks to a series victory. When you look back at that, what was the key to it? I'm sure that there's a whole mix of things, the tactics, emotions, but when you look back, what do you kind of put it down to?
Yeah, firstly, we were an unknown factor. A lot of coaches do ploy what they're going to do on the field to put a team on the back foot. I thought it would be good for us to start off the field by selecting an unknown team, shifting a few players like John Smith from hooker to prop, and Pinar from scrum half to fly half, and just moving players around so that the Lions would think that we are panicking because we didn't have a good season in 2008, and to make them complacent. And when we got into the field, we would find them napping, and that's what happened. So I made them think a bit. It's something that I learned from the 1974 Lions. They came to South Africa and they selected our teams for us. So I went and I took some of those things, and I went to study the mindset of the different unions and how they look at things, and adding all those ingredients together, I knew that we could be on top if we execute properly, and that is what we did.
That is fascinating, Peter. That's really interesting. It was an incredible series back in 2009. I'm going to jump you back to the present day again, and let's just have a quick listen to head coach Jacques Nienaber. He's been speaking. The Springboks have made a few changes to their side, enforced by injury. Peter Steph de Toy missing out. Franco Mostart moving from second row to the back row. And here's what Jacques, he said he didn't have any concerns with that change.
Yeah, it's always big losing a guy like Peter Steph. I mean, he was 2019, he was World Player of the Year. Having him in the team, I mean, he's so accustomed to the role that he has to play as seven. But in saying that, Franco has covered us there a lot before. So we've moved him there before. And even in games, you know, he would always, even if he starts, he's always a guy that has to in the preparation up to the week, he covers, he has to both know both roles. And now I'm confident in him, and like you could see in on the weekend, I mean, we had no issue moving in there.
So, Peter, Jacques has no concerns. When you look at a side without Faf de Klerk and without Peter Steph de Toy, do you have any concerns?
No, not at all. Franco, he's got a big engine. He's got a hell of a presence. He's used to the direct route too. So now suddenly you got three players who can do that for you in the second row, and that is a plus. And I think our lineout is going to be much better too. So the work for the Lions will be cut out. You know, they must come with short lineouts and quick throws and those little things so that they can actually get good ball, because it's going to be tough for them to secure their ball all the time, because we got now 3-4 guys who can contest at the level where they are used to it. And that is not the contesting is not a big thing. Is what we do have on the field is people who are trained to read lineouts. And we got 3 guys now who can read their lineouts and can put them under pressure. And what I see from, or what I know from the Lions, they normally use their lineouts as a platform to orchestrate their attacks from. So yeah, I think their work is cut out. They must be very, very secure and spot on with their throw-ins.
Yeah, it's going to be a crucial area. I've got to ask you, Peter, about Mornay Steyn. It's an incredible story. What do you make of the fact, and what does it say about the man, that he's involved in another Lions series for the Springboks 12 years on?
Yeah, we won't. I have nothing. I've only good to say about Mornay. I don't think a 60-yard kick will work this time, because it's not the Highveld, it's Cape Town. What worries me more about the selection of Mornay is that none of our fly-ups could actually move him from the spot that he made his own. So it shows you that, yeah, our future is a bit bleak, eh?
That's an interesting point. I guess Andre Pollard's still got years, plenty of years ahead, but you're right, and an early injury, and he could be thrust into to an important moment. I want to get inside a coach's head right now. How do you manage the players now and in the build-up to a huge game like this?
Yeah, the first thing is, what got you there? How did you manage to be there? So now you need a 5% improvement of all the players. Now, if you can squeeze 5% out of a player who gave 100%, you're a magician, you know. So you can't do this. And you as a coach need now to confine the 5% that can help you on the field. Maybe the 5% is lying in game management. Maybe it's about inspiring people next to you. Maybe it's just to create more for, so you, everybody has to find a 5% that is within his individual capacity to improve what happened on the day. So that is what I would focus on now. We know how to play the game. We know how to be physical. We know how to get under their skin. We know all those kind of things. Can we add 5% of something else that you didn't bring to the game yet to improve and make it hard?
Yeah. Peter, how do you do that? Is that done in analysis? Is that done? Would you have chats with players? I'm fascinated to know where you think you can find those little 5%.
Yeah, you know, it's now psychological, and people say that we have four parts of our brain. In sport, there's eight. So you need to go find those one part of that brain that's never been used by that player in this series. And ask him in that one. So if you take a guy like Willy, Willy can be distracted if a referee makes a wrong decision. So that is your focus on Willy now for the next text. Listen to me, life is not fair. Things will go wrong. In this test, I want you to go accept it and find something else in the place of that. Even if you talk to one of the players about anything else except the incident and start focusing again on where we can be. So now you can make an improvement on that. If you look at a guy like Sia, Sia like to get involved in small little things so that he can be a leader. You tell him, listen here, whoa, we have now 15 leaders in this game. Don't get involved in anything. Only focus on how can you make a guy like Visa run more onto the ball and make him stronger. So now he improved that by 5%. So you'll find in every way you can find something in somebody which make the person, the heart, the warmth of the person which they can follow, and the rugby player in him will improve.
And that right there is why you were a national head coach, Peter. And you used a phrase a moment ago. You said about inspiring people. And I'm just thinking, you know, you made history, and you were an inspiration as the first black head coach of South Africa. The team itself has been a source of pride, of hope, of inspiration for the country. And now the national side is reflecting the country a lot more. And there are characters in there who act as a source of inspiration as well. So a word on, for example, Makazoli Mapimpi, a latecomer to rugby from really humble roots and now a try scorer in a Lions series and a World Cup final.
Yeah, you are presenter of this talk sport program. And I think you have a sound background on studying the mental part of rugby and the physical part of rugby and the makeup of it. The late developers normally are more stronger and they excel more than the guys who were early developers, because they in their makeup they think they've got a backdraw, so they need just to step up in everything so that everybody around them can take them in and depend on them to play their role. So all the late developers in world rugby, you can go study it. All your late developers became world beaters, and they are, most of them are in a world of Hall of Fame today. Because of how hard they worked, you know.
But Makazoli Mapimpi is a really special human being, isn't he?
Yeah, because we all are special. He just had the opportunity to show how special he is. But there are special players in the Lions side too, which the way they played, they took away the opportunities to show how special they can be. On the day, he was very, very special. And you know, that is the moments that we as coaches talk about. Those moments only come once. Don't think it will happen again. And when the moment is there for you, take it, because that will make you evergreen for the rest of your life. Can it and make the best of it. So he did that now in the second test. Now we only need him to get under. Everybody's going to wait for him to do it again. Everybody's going to be there to try and stop him. Just be in their faces all the time. You don't need to go do anything. They will take themselves out of the game.
Peter, I can't let you go before I ask you what you've made of Razzie Erasmus's video and the Twitter drama this week.
Yeah, we all have a way of trying to get under the skin of people. Razzie is still young. I don't think he went the right route. I'm glad that World Rugby has put the foot down, put the marker down to say, listen here, we don't want to clean up the game on the field. We want the game to come clean from outside onto the field. And I think that is a great thing that they did. I don't know. I might have gone the same route. I don't know where his inspiration came from to do it. But what I can tell you is that what he got right is that, and where the Lions allowed him to do it to them, is that he's not the coach. He's not the coach of the team. So the coach and the team went on preparing for what they want to do. And he distracted the whole Lions team just to be there and do things that you don't and me don't agree with. And we don't condone it. And it's not part of sportsmanship. But it worked.
Wow. I guess, well, he's got World Rugby to answer to, as you say. But yeah, I guess you can argue it worked. You're finally then. How do you predict it's going to go this Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be tough for the Lions this week. It's going to be really, really tough unless they go back to the character of what the Lions is made of. And what I would have done if I was the coach there, I would have gone back to what worked in 1974 and what worked in 1980 and what worked in 79. I would have gone back to that. And then I would bring in what didn't work in 2009. And when I bring that part in, I will tell them that, can you see now for 12 years, you won't have the chance to even talk about it. You want to forget it, but it's part of your memory. You can't wash it out. So they can play rugby. That is why they're there. I would have focused on the mental side of how I don't want to let four nations down.
I could chat to you all night about this. You have the memory, and like you say, it's evergreen that you will always be the coach of a Springbok side that won a Lions series. And Peter de Villiers, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, and God bless all the people. I just want to leave your viewers with this last Peter de Villiers saying, it's not the kind of shoes that you wear that take you somewhere. It's how you walk with it that will take you somewhere.
Love that. Thank you, Peter. It's the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous Grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18 plus, be drink aware. Well, Peter de Villiers wants the Lions to play rugby. I'll tell you one man they could turn to if they want to go his way, Finn Russell. He's today's player profile. We'll be joined by his former coach, Bob Wiley, next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I love the way Finn Russell plays. He gets supporters on the edge of their seats.
Finn Russell, Racing 92, Scotland.
Finn Russell will replace him in the number 10 shirt.
Finn's going to push the boundaries. So if you use him in the right way, the right times, he can be devastating. He's pushing boundaries.
Finn Russell, yeah, had an injection today, so not a strained Achilles, but a slight little wee tear in it, so going to keep him out for the next couple of weeks.
Lovely house, no furniture, he's a sofa, right? A massive telly, and then he's got the box that the telly came in, and he's turned it into a coffee table.
That guy's got so much cash, but he's not doing much for Scottish stereotypes and not wanting to put your hands in your pocket. What do you mean he's using a television box as a table? That is the tightest thing I've ever heard.
He really is one of the mavericks in world rugby, on and off the field. We haven't seen as much of him as we'd like to have done on this Lions tour so far, but Finn Russell is today's player profile, and he's also got a shot at history. He's on the bench in Saturday's deciding test match. And throughout the tour, we focused a lot on the players in the squad, and today it's the Scotland and Racing 92 fly half who is in the spotlight on our player profile as we find out a little bit more about these guys before they were famous, when they could only dream of having been Lions. And I'm joined now by Bob Wiley, who coached Finn. Both, have I got this right, Bob? Both as a child and as a professional rugby player?
Not as a professional. I think I first met him when he was 7 or 8 years old and coached at a Kenny Logan summer camp, and then had the pleasure just before Gregor had signed him up for Glasgow, being his player coach at Falkirk Rugby Club. So I've seen him in a few disguises before this wonderful journey that Finn's been on over the last 10 years.
Finn is a guy that just makes you smile when he speaks, and absolutely when he plays rugby. Was his personality the same as a young man and a boy even?
Yeah, and he's not changed at all, other than maybe got a bit older and his hairline's gone back a little bit. I remember Finn when during that summer camp, and I remember it was a Tuesday morning doing a defensive drill, and most children at that age have one or two different tackle techniques. Finn had about 10 different techniques that he used and various different tackles, and that probably caught the eye of what I thought was going to be a great back row forward. And then I think maybe 4 or 5 years later, I seen him play for his club at Standoff. I think it was maybe under 14s. It's still in county, and the same as he was in defence, he was like that on attack, and maybe had 10 different options that he could utilise at any given time. So it's probably no real surprise, if I'm being honest, to those close to him and his family, that Finn has reached the dizzy heights that he has done. So what we see, what you guys see Finn now, is probably what we've seen from a very, very early age.
I worked with someone who was at, I think, Glasgow University, and Finn did a bit of coaching while he was playing at Glasgow.
Okay,
He said that Finn used to turn up with a Tesco meal deal, or two Tesco meal deals in a bag, sit down on a chair, watch him coach, and every now and again get up and go, lad, you just need to do it like this. And he'd wang a miss four pass. But then he'd also go out and socialise with the guys. He's such a unique character. And in a way, do you not think Finn Russell's a bit of a throwback?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I was thinking today that Finn's one of the only players in professional rugby in Scotland who's went down a league. So Finn was in a premier amateur club, but then, you know, came down a league and played almost an old school style of rugby the season before he went to play professional rugby. And I know during the Euros in football there was talk of a lot of the England players, you know, having going out of Premier League and down into the Football League and the benefit they've had from that. And Finn is one of that. But he also has that unique ability that Finn can speak to your tight head prop, to your 15, and you'll see that on any given game that Finn's playing in, that he's communicating all the time to everybody within his team. And that's probably the unseen bit of Finn that's probably not seen enough, that Finn has an unbelievable natural leadership that comes to the fore because of that unique ability to communicate to everyone.
Yeah, and just such an interesting guy. I love the fact that in some of those massive games for Scotland or for Racing 92, he'll just be sort of like dancing to the music in the stadium before a match. Yeah. We need more personalities like him to grow rugby, don't we?
Yeah, for sure. And Finn, that is all Finn's coping. And I know people may have a perception of Finn that he is just on one big laugh, but everything that Finn's done, it's for a reason. So the dancing, it's all to keep him calm, it's all to make sure he's composed as he goes into the game. But be rest assured, there's every stone is not is left unturned as Finn goes into all these big games.
Oh, I'm absolutely certain of that. Just how does it make you feel, having played a part, you know, that summer camp when he was 8 years old, a bit later on before he was a professional? How does it make you feel when you see him in a Scotland and, as we will this Saturday, a Lions jersey?
Yeah, for sure. I try not to sound really arrogant here and overconfident, but it is no real surprise to those that have been close to Finn to see him in the playing for Scotland or just to see him in a British line, because he has an amazing ability. And, you know, I'm just the happiness that I've got with Finn is I think there's hundreds of Finn Russells that maybe just haven't been given the opportunity. And Finn, through Gregor, from seeing something very early, and Finn has been given that platform and opportunity to play. I do believe there is a story there that Finn isn't your kind of normal, been on that normal pathway. He's kind of had to do it through his own vision or his father's own vision, and it's came to the fore. So yeah, I'm just really happy that he's been given the opportunity to showcase the skills that, as I said, he's had from such an early age.
Yeah, that opportunity is absolutely massive for him this Saturday. The biggest match of his life so far, arguably. What would you say to Finn if you were speaking to him now? What message would you send him?
Yeah, so Finn likes calm voices. So I'll just, Finn will remind me as well before the game Saturday that it is just another game, and he'll try to reinforce that in his head before Saturday or before he gets the call to go on. So he won't be overawed, absolutely not, by Saturday. He will feel it's a bit of a destiny, but I know he has been frustrated that the injury that he picked up in before he went out to South Africa in Jersey, he'll just want an opportunity to showcase his skills on what you rightly said is the biggest game that Finn will have ever been involved in. And he's been involved in some big games.
Bob, it's been absolutely fascinating and really great to speak to you. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, cheers, Tim. Thank you.
Brilliant stuff. You just can't help but feeling listening to Bob talk there, a man who clearly knows him very well, and as relaxed and as maverick as Finn Russell is, he'll be absolutely gunning to play a big role on Saturday, and it's all set for him. I absolutely love that little segment on the Lions Daily as we get the origin story of the players today, Finn Russell. It's the Lions Daily on TalkSport 2 with the famous Grouse, the spirit of rugby, 18 plus, be drink aware. Next, we're going to hear more from Warren Gatland.
I expect to see a little bit more attacking lineup, maybe, but also trying to shore up the back with people who are renowned for being able to defuse some of the high balls.
With Bundy, Robbie, you know, they've got a pretty familiar combination.
Josh Adams! Try scored!
And Russell comes on the bench because, you know, he's a little bit different.
And Adam Bird, the second row, will go in and the Lions will score a really well-worked team try.
Got a bang against the South Africa A game, just been rehabbing it to get it stronger and getting it ready for, fingers crossed, I was selected for the third test.
And Wyn Jones is going to finally get his five-pointer on this occasion.
I would have thought that someone like an Ian Henderson or a Ty Byrne could have come in there to try and mix and add a bit more beef into that back row.
So let's recap those Lions team changes then. And by the way, well done for taking some constructive criticism, Alfie, and getting the song right for this little package you made.
We work as a team, Tim. We work as a team.
Yeah, good man. Six changes to the Lions starting side then, as you were hearing some of the names there. Wyn Jones and Ken Owens into the front row. Ali Price at scrum half. Bundy Aki in at centre. Josh Adams and Liam Williams into the back three, with Sam Simmons, Finn Russell and Adam Beard added to the bench. So that's at the expense of, in total, Owen Farrell, Chris Harris, Anthony Watson, Stuart Hogg, Taulupe Faletau and Tyge Byrne, who all drop out. Just, I think it was Tommy Bow there mentioning Ian Henderson's name. And that's actually someone I hadn't mentioned. I feel so sorry for Henderson. That's two Lions tours now where he's looked awesome and won't have a Lions cap to his name. And this might be end up being his last chance.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And particularly after Alan Wyn-Jones got injured, we were all kind of looking, right, it'll probably be Henderson and Maratoja then as second rows, and all of a sudden he's not going to feature at all. The other one as well, Tim, is Stuart Hogg. I know we've mentioned it a few times on Lions Daily, where he said that it always grated on him that he hadn't got a test cap in 2013 and 2017. He's got a test cap, but I just wonder whether it's still going to be a little bit bittersweet for him, because he got one go in the second test, dropped to get, it hasn't exactly gone the way he would have wanted it to.
No. I mean, it's set up to be a fairy tale for someone. Who it's going to be, we will wait and see on Saturday, and you'll hear it here on Talk Sport. But the Lions, they're going to hope their changes make the difference in terms of game plan, in terms of the speed of the match. And Warren Gatland explained to Talk Sport that they were frustrated by the pace of that second test.
Every scrum, there was an injury slowing the game down. I think we had something like 14 minutes of TMO time in the game. And we've worked pretty hard from a conditioning point of view, and it was, you know, really, really stop start, and that made it frustrating for us. And we want to keep the tempo of the game up, to get the ball in our scrums, to get the ball in quickly at lineouts, to play and to get a flow. And South Africa at the moment don't want to do that. They, you know, everything is so stop started that it does make it frustrating. And I know Alan Wyn-Jones was talking to the referee about keeping it going, and we had stud changes, we had TMO decisions, we had the referee stopping the game for cramp. So that'll be one of the things that I talk to the referees this week when we discuss, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, we can't have 60-odd minute halves. I mean, I think it's important that we, you know, we keep that the flow of the game. And as much from a spectator point of view, you know, we want to see some pretty good rugby, and we didn't see some great rugby played on the weekend.
I totally share Warren Gatland's frustrations on that one. And I'm going to steal an analogy that a friend of mine gave to me. He said, imagine a 100-metre runner and an 800-metre runner running 800 metres. Who would win? The 800-metre runner. But the weekend, it was more like, and this is played right into South Africa's hands, as Warren Gatland just acknowledged, it would be like stopping the clock every 100 metres for a few minutes. And that 100-metre runner would then absolutely spank an 800-metre runner. That's kind of how it felt. And I think Warren Gatland's absolutely right. They need to... Alfie, then you just need to find ways to speed this game up. And even Peter de Villiers, someone whose allegiances are with South Africa, was saying the same.
And I mean, it's easier said than done is the only thing, isn't it? I mean, the TMO and everything like that is somewhat out of your control. I wonder whether we're going to see less pushing and shoving and all that sort of stuff as well from the Lions in this game, whether they'll try and refrain from that. Because again, that breaks up the game. It stops the clock. Sometimes then the referee wants to have a look at it with his assistants and TMO. I just wonder whether that's going to have been a message to Warren Gatland and his players.
I hadn't thought of that. I absolutely love that, by the way.
Oh, no, I know. So do I.
Even
Elizabeth
and Alan Wyn-Jones squaring up in the first minute of that game, I was here for it. But I think you've got a good point. Let's hear more from Gatland then. He was asked about the incidents in the series involving Razzie Erasmus. The South African director of rugby is going to face a World Rugby misconduct hearing for his comments last week, whilst the Lions were also reminded to uphold the integrity of the sport. Gatland said he was disappointed to be dragged into it.
Look, there's been so much said about that sort of stuff. The only thing I'm disappointed in World Rugby's statement is that they've kind of inadvertently dragged us into it. You know, we've tried to, we think, maintain as much integrity as we can in terms of we haven't been commenting on the referee. We never questioned the TMO or integrity of the TMO. The only question we asked is that why hadn't World Rugby put a contingency plan in place that if people couldn't travel or if people had got sick? And that was the only question that we had asked. So yeah, I'm really, really disappointed with a part of the statement where they've sort of said both sides have been making comments and been critical of the officials. I'd like someone to show me where we have done that. You know, we've looked through everything and we can't see any instances where we've been critical of the officials. In fact, I think we've praised the officials.
Am I just being really biased and one-eyed here, but I completely, again, agree with Warren Gatland. I mean, all teams and all players skirt close to the line of what is acceptable, go right up to it, maybe try and sneak over it a little bit without getting in trouble. But the difference, to conflate what the Lions' conduct at any point with Razzy Erasmus and his one-hour video breaking down 29 different incidents of refereeing decisions that all he feel went against him. I mean, if the Lions went close to the line, fine. Razzy Erasmus's behaviour is so far beyond the line, he's a speck in the distance. And to conflate the two together, I just do not understand.
I think Warren Gatland's been listening to the Lions Daily, Tim, because this was the point that we were making on the show yesterday. And South Africa, in a sense, I give them credit for it because they've done an unbelievable job of taking the narrative and turning it into the Lions questioning Marius Jonker and questioning his decision-making. And as Warren Gatland said there, and I said to you yesterday, I've listened to a lot of Lions press conferences on this tour. They questioned World Rugby and why they didn't have a plan B. They didn't necessarily question the integrity, but that's not how it is now being reported and what South Africa have said. So I completely, again, I agree with you. Maybe we're so far into this series now, we can't get past the fan in us. But I absolutely agree. I think Warren Gatland and the Lions have been done a bit of a disservice with how it's been reported kind of by the Springboks and within South Africa.
Agreed. I've got that little knot in my tummy again. I'm getting, do you know what? Let's finish with a smile. Let's all take a breath and we'll finish with some of those lighthearted moments from Talk Sports commentary, because there's been times where everything has been very, very serious, not least the last couple of minutes. So James Haskell, what a guy he's been on commentary, and he's always looking for people who could do work in his back garden.
Just mentioning there that Andre Pollard slipped over. Scout Berger was talking about an hour and a half before kickoff and said it's been a beautiful day in Cape Town, but the sun starts to go down round about kickoff time, about 6 o'clock, and he said there is moisture on the pitch an hour, 2 hours beforehand. He said it will drop 10 degrees once the sun goes down, and that moisture will therefore get even more. And that is why the pitch is cutting up and why people are slipping over. So it's not only the pitch, but there's also an element of Mother Nature in this.
Get Scott Berger around to do my lawn. He sounds like he's an expert in that area.
I love Hask. I love Macca as well. Great stuff. And finally, it doesn't matter if you're a former British and Irish Lion who has 77 England caps. Sometimes we just need a bit of TLC.
There is nothing more painful ever than getting punched in the nose or hitting your nose. There's multiple times it happened to me where I just wanted my mum to come on and hug me and take me home and say it's going to be okay, because your eyes water and you're just like, why am I doing this? This is a terrible game. I could have been good at something else.
James Haskell. Part of the TalkSport coverage, which is coming your way this weekend. This is the Lions Daily, though, on TalkSport 2 with the famous Grouse, the Spirit of Rugby, 18+, be drink aware every non-match day. We're here on TalkSport 2 at this time. You can find us on a podcast. Subscribe wherever you get yours, on the TalkSport app as well. It is all on the line Saturday evening. Commentary of that deciding third test between South Africa and the Lions on TalkSport. Kickoff 5 p.m.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.